So in this episode, we're talking to Dan Hopwood. He's a teacher of design, technology and engineering at Whitgift. Let's get into it right now.
Welcome back to Whitgift Conversations, the podcast where we talk to staff and pupils about topics that are relevant to you. Come with us as we get into this episode right now.
Dan, welcome to this episode of the podcast. How are you today?
Yes, very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here. We're recording this towards the end of the day on a Thursday. Have you finished all lessons for today?
That's it, yeah. Double free for me on a Thursday afternoon, so delighted to be here.
Okay, of course, you're calling it a double free, but we all know that there's no such thing as a free in school, really, for a member of teaching staff. But tell me a little bit about the kind of thing you often do during a free period.
So previously, before, I was just on cover, so SPS cover for year 13. Otherwise, could be anywhere from in the workshop, helping out with the students, especially during this time of the year, considering they're all moving into their practical work for their coursework submissions, or I could be marking work or looking at curriculums and schemes of work and how we can improve what we're doing here in design, technology and engineering.
Right, right. And of course, you say this is design, technology and engineering. I've been in a number of schools in my lifetime, and a lot of schools talk about D&T, like design and technology. They often don't have the engineering at the end. What's this extra bit? What makes you different?
I think we're trying to move away from the sort of old style DT, if you like, and everyone's sort of stigma towards that. I mean, DT for a lot of people will mean in a woodworking shop, workshops, and just creating very practical based subjects. Now, the way we see it is a move away from that sort of main focus, practical outcome, and a more focus on skills. So how can we improve sketching? How can we improve our, I guess, CAD skills, not just everything to do with practical based? And the engineering side of it, there's a lot more rigor, I would say, in the subject, especially what we're doing here, a lot more focus around engineering and how that can help and how we can help sort of move students into that area and that discipline. It does help that a number of the members of the department are from engineering backgrounds, such as the head of the department, Mr. Seal.
And tell me about yourself. What's your own background?
My own background is product design, but it's a BSc, so it's more of a science, which I studied at Brunel University, so a very heavily based engineering university. And I did manage to get to do a sandwich degree with that, so that was a year in industry for me as well.
Ah, so where did you work then during that year out at university?
Was at a company called Equilibrium Products, which was an equine company. They sort of specialised in improving the life of different types of horses and the problems that they sort of face. So things like a hair net we looked at also a product that I helped create and the packaging for that, which was Vitamunch, which was a hay block, if you like, which keeps the horse entertained whilst you might be grooming him or her or getting the horseshoes replaced, that type of thing.
And then what was it that brought you to Whitgift after you left university?
Bit of a drastic change, actually, from somewhere like an equine company doing product design and packaging design all the way into teaching. What happened for me was I felt like some of the movement within the actual design industry itself was going very heavily digital-based, and a lot of focus on graphics and motions and animation. And for me, it got to the time where I felt that I'd sort of mastered that area. I wasn't that entertained working in a office for 8 hours a day, so I thought, you know what, I'll give teaching a go. But before Whitgift, I went to South Korea and worked as an English teacher there in Busan for two years.
Wow, that's got to be very different to life in Croydon.
Hugely different, yes. But what an experience and what a time to have it, and the sort of confidence you get from moving abroad and learning a new language and learning a culture, as well as teaching a subject that I suppose isn't my specialism, was incredibly fun, rewarding, and made some great memories from that.
And how long are you there for, and when did you go there as well?
I went there in around 2016 for 2 years, then came back. And when I came back after those 2 years, knew teaching was my passion, knew that's where I wanted to sort of focus on. And from that, ended up doing the Teach First sort of degree, leadership degree, which is also linked with teaching. And you get your teaching qualifications from that, and then built on there.
Okay, wow. It's amazing that you've come to Whitgift then with that experience. And I imagine that's something you can share with some of the students at school there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think they find it incredibly interesting when you do share snippets of your life and where you have been outside of teaching. I think that's having that experience first in industry, then moving into teaching can obviously help you incredibly and just give you more of an aspect of what life really is like rather than just the academic side of things.
Now, Dan, in my experience, in schools in DT departments, or DTE, I should say, for Whitgift, whenever anyone talks about product design, it's almost obligatory that somebody talks about Apple at some point, like the iPod and the iPhone and some of these classic designs that we've got. And at the time of recording, it wasn't that long ago that the Apple Vision Pro came out. How do you feel that a company like Apple is a really good thing for young people today when it comes to inspiring them with product design?
I think the sort of the minimalistic style Apple bring, and obviously Steve Jobs and the way he started that company and his own story from his garage, in his parents' garage, it can bring a lot more than just sort of design style. It can bring the entrepreneurial sort of side to product design, which heavily linked to sort of the actual discipline itself. We talk about Apple so much for a variety of different reasons, whether it's their sort of schemes to hand back products and be more sustainable and having a look at that sort of that cycle and that scheme, or whether it's the sort of products you mentioned, like the Vision Pro, the way that they've changed with their phones. Are they a sustainable brand in terms of the number of phones they bring out and how often they regularly do it? There's so many talking points to talk about Apple that it would be a shame just to sort of park that aside. So yeah, there's plenty to talk about. Students get incredibly enthused by it. They come to you and talk to you about it. We don't have to go searching for sort of inspiration. It's something that students want to talk about and are excited to talk about. So it makes the subject so much more easier and fun to teach.
And of course, we're not going to spend this whole episode talking about product design, but one secondary question on that, which other companies do you really respect when it comes to the way they design their products?
I think it would be unfair not to mention someone like James Dyson and what they do and how they've taken their sort of iterative design process is what we really focus on here at Whitgift as well, in terms of failing and producing and failing again and getting feedback again. It's fair not to give them a mention. I think Seymour Powell is very impressive with the things they produce and the sketching. There's a large number, I could just reel them off as we're talking now, but we just focus on a large amount, I would say, just to get that sort of not just focus on Apple. There's lots more out there than Apple.
And you mentioned Seymour Powell. Exactly what is Seymour Powell?
They are a design digital agency. We've done some CPD sort of resources from them to try and improve our sketching so that we can then pass that knowledge on to our students as well.
Okay, and you mentioned about failing. How does that look with regards to how you encourage people to fail, with the best intentions, of course?
Well, for me personally, I think it's absolutely imperative to being able to be a master of something or success of something. So when students come in from the early ages of year seven, we have conversation with them surrounding what the outcome is and what we're trying to achieve and the sort of culture that I would like in the classroom. So part of failure being part of that, obviously kindness as well and the way we respect each other. So I think it's not just failure, but it's the attitude towards failure, not being afraid to fail. And I think a lot of students can be afraid to fail, and a lot of students will prevent themselves from pushing themselves out of the comfort zone because of the potential risk of failure and rather stick with, I don't know, a design, for example, that someone else has done before because they know it's a success. So it can be quite a challenging topic to discuss, and creativity, obviously mixed in that as well, will come from pushing those boundaries and making those failures.
Of course, it's not just children, it's adults as well, I imagine, who struggle with that concept of failing and then feeling like they might look a bit stupid as a result. Okay, tell me what else is included in the DTE department. What else would I expect to see if I stepped in there? Let's imagine there's a parent who's listening to this right now. Maybe they've never been into the department, but they're quite keen to know what it looks like, what kind of things are in there. Just talk us through what it looks like.
Absolutely. Well, before I don't want to kind of talk about it from my point of view. What I'll do is I'll share some thoughts from my lower six students that I asked today, in terms of what they think about the department and why they enjoy working so much in design, technology and engineering.
Oh, okay. That's quite handy. Yeah, brilliant.
So they told me that they found it a rewarding experience and they like the separation away from sort of classroom. So there's obviously a massive mix between theory and practical work within the workshop. So they enjoy that, the way they link together, obviously with theory and then the practical side of it as well. They also said they were excited by the life skills again and understanding of the world around them, whether that's materials or the reasoning behind everyday products, they do really believe that they appreciate what good design is versus what potentially poor design is. At Whitgift specifically, they said they're excited about the facilities with the department. Now, I'll go on to those in more detail in a second, but one thing that really resonated with me is that they said the frequency at which they get to use those facilities and interact with them and the trust that they're given from the members of staff within the department. So they're able to do things such as work on their own projects. I know my lower six student Dylan came in, he wanted to fix his bike. So he brought his bicycle in, sanded it down, gave it a new paint job. They have other opportunities such as Senior DT Club. So that's been a phenomenal success, and that's given students the space to enhance their skills and to build guitars. So they're currently working on their guitars, which they've designed, created themselves, brought kits in. So it's they find it incredibly rewarding. It's also incredibly rewarding for us to see that sort of independence coming after school in their own time to build essentially whatever they want so they can enhance these skills. In terms of facilities in the department, we've just got a range of new bamboo printers. So they all work phenomenally. We've got now 5 3D printers, which
were bamboo printers.
Yeah, so bamboo is the name of the actual brand itself. They are 3D printers.
Okay.
Yeah, they're 3D printers. They're top of the range, very expensive, very capable in terms of what we had with previous 3D printers. We might have had issues with potentially setting them up for certain things, but these printers are fabulous. They work very well and have been a great success so far. We have a plasma laser cutter, so that's very different to your average laser cutter, what you might use wood or plastic for. The plasma laser cutter uses a very fine laser, very powerful one, which is able to cut through a range of different metals, including steel. So that obviously opens up a whole new aspect of what students can produce and where we can go with that.
Gosh, that really does. Just tell me a bit more about that laser cutter. I mean, you know, what sort of thickness are we talking about of things that it can cut through?
Tucking 3, 4, 5 and upwards. So I know students at the moment.
Sorry, 3, 4, 5.
Just millimeters, yeah, and beyond. Wow. Like it, obviously, times will range with how quick things get cut. But we've also already utilizing this with Year 8. So Year 8 are designing their own sort of hooked project, if you like, where they can create their own metal hooked examples for clothing. Mm-hmm. So that's worked very well. I know a lot of students have been using it in GCSE and also at A-Level 2. Sort of enhance their ideas and develop where their ideas go.
And talk to me a little bit about the transition from GCSE to A-level for the students that take this subject at A-level. How different does it look in year 12 compared to in year 11?
It's funny you say that, because if you compare the two, you might actually be mistaken and think, oh, they're not actually that different, because the structure of the course for both GCSE and A-level is very similar. So we tend to focus on theory for year 10, and skills towards the end of the project and getting them prepared to do their coursework from year 11, where the main focus is that coursework, that project, which they drive themselves. The difference here being that you are given 3 sort of contextual problems analysis that the students have to pick one and then design their own product within that area. Now, when you get to A-level, there's a lot more freedom. When it comes to the theory in year 12, it's very detailed, very broad, building on that theory that they've learned in year 10 and year 11. And then when it gets to year 13, they get to pick their own project. So they literally will pick. There's no context. They choose, they drive their own project. So they can pick something. They could pick anything, really. Something they're interested in, they want to do further on in their career. They could be thinking about companies that they want to pitch this potential project to. Pick a project, develop that project, and then have an interview and say, look, this is what I've done. These are the ideas I've had when I've been thinking about your company and potentially the problems that you face. So there is an opportunity here definitely to sort of show a lovely portfolio and show some lovely skills, but also target companies and people beyond that.
And talk to me a little bit about the projects that some of the students have been involved in. What have some of those looked like?
Well, I'm not currently teaching year 13, but I've seen from popping my head in, the current year 13s have got a sort of wide range. I know one student's building an acoustic guitar, another student's working in the fabrication workshop. I'm not entirely sure what he's doing, but I know he's been doing some welding. A lot of these boys in this year group are looking at places like Cambridge and looking at places like Oxford. They're applying for those places. I think that one of them's actually been successful based on his grade. So they're all prepared, ready to go for these top universities with the skills they've got and with the project they've got as well.
And I imagine that there's always going to be a future in you know, being skilled in this kind of area. You know, we often talk about AI and how AI is going to be taking over the world and taking various people's jobs. But ultimately, we're always going to need a human touch, aren't we, when it comes to designing products and understanding really what it is that people need and how people use products as well.
Yeah, I think application is so key here. The number of other subjects we talk about which design provides that application for, whether it's there's crossovers with chemistry, geography, physics, just to name a few, and having that sort of area and format for the students to really push those subjects and develop something and create something is a real mix of skills. It's interesting because I remember reading something that was mentioning current doctors or junior doctors are struggling with the sort of dexterity they have in the hands to perform these really important surgeries because of potential lack of skills from maybe that you get from design and technology and engineering.
Huh, really? Interesting. And you mentioned about the Senior DT Club. Tell me a bit more about that. How does that look? How many people come along and how frequently do people meet up?
Well, usually runs about once a week. At the moment, there's four boys in there working away, so they've got quite a range of tools and obviously facilities I've already mentioned that they can get their hands stuck in on, so they're not really waiting at the moment, which is great. We don't technically have a cap on it, but this isn't just something that's open to boys that take DT. We've got one of the boys there who hasn't chosen DT that used to take it, who's taking this as an opportunity to continue to work on his creativity and his skills whilst running other subjects.
So tell me this, what would you say to a parent who's listening to this? Maybe they've got young children, they're considering, you know, whether to go further in this subject, maybe to do it at A level, maybe they're doing it at A level and they're thinking about whether they should be doing it afterwards at university. What would you say to either encourage or discourage if you think it wouldn't be right for them?
I think if that's what their thing is, for me, it was my thing and I would fully encourage it. I think it's really exciting. I mean, I know I'm teaching it now. I've been in a... Well, you look at the careers that we have now, we don't just typically go into one career and stay in that career forever. So I think having the ability to be flexible and change careers, design and engineering offers up a huge amount of doors to go into whatever sort of area you would like, whether that's fashion, whether it's engineering, whether it's digital design, whether it's product design. It's got a huge array of different careers that you can really get your hands stuck into. I mean, for me, in the future, I've got ambitions of starting my own business. Now, I wouldn't have that ambition or the skills or the confidence to go and do that without having a real solid ground in product design, in design engineering and technology. So I would thoroughly encourage it. It's an exciting place to be at the moment.
And how about if a parent was maybe slightly more traditional, maybe they, when they were younger, they'd gone to university, maybe when they were at doing A-levels, they looked at doing like politics, philosophy and economics, something like that, and they're encouraging their child to take a similar kind of route. How would you encourage a parent to look at it with a fresh set of eyes and that maybe what was right for them isn't going to be right for their child?
I think the fact that technology is always advancing, like you've mentioned AI already, we've spoken about so many different types of technology that you want to be at the forefront of it. You want to be able to master it. You want to be able to utilize it. There'll be a huge amount of opportunities there to use technology and to set up own businesses, I've mentioned before, and like the entrepreneurship there. So I think just the countless opportunities to work with cutting edge technology at the front of technology, using that, mastering that, understanding the opportunities within that is why would you not want to be involved in that?
I love that. I love that. And Dan, a couple of times you've mentioned about being an entrepreneur or starting your own business. So clearly you're the sort of person, I think, who sees beyond the product itself and also bears in mind, you know, how much of a real use there is for that product, what problem it solves in society. You mentioned as well about starting your own business. What would you want to start your own business in?
I've got sort of two routes at the moment that I'm thinking of. Part of me as a Northwest Blackpool boy wouldn't mind just going up and setting up a cafe, to be honest, and having that sort of hospitality aspect. The other aspect is more actual focus around education, potentially a sort of space for students to come and want to work and sort of where that sort of goes, who knows, but it was potentially sort of the charity route. That's one aspect I'm looking at as well.
Oh, I love this. I love this. Entrepreneurship. We've got commercial-minded people here in school. We're talking about design, technology and engineering. Dan, keeping an eye on time, going to need to bring this to a close. Last question, though. If anybody's heard anything and they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way they should do that?
I think email probably best. And then from follow there, we could probably set up a call if that works best. So my email is dj@witgift.co.uk.
Perfect. Okay, well, we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But Dan, it's been really good talking to you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being here.
Cheers. Thank you, Simon.
That's it for this episode. We appreciate you being here. For more information, please do get in touch through the website, witgift.co.uk. But in the meantime, thank you for listening. Bye for now.